Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View for Monday evening, September 10th, 2012. Guess who? It's your humble host, PK, speaking. And this is also my godmother's birthday, so just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, all my millions of listeners out there, I'm here every Monday evening, but I'm returning back from badly needed vacation and some traveling, so I'm back to share my wisdom and humility with you. And if you'd like to call the show, the number here is 888-429-5471. And for those of you who aren't familiar with where I'm coming from, I speak about politics, history, economics, geopolitics, music, holistic medicine, and, of course, my sharp wit and shameless humor is mixed in. Some of my humor is sort of often in the can go into the Howard Stern vein, sort of, where everything's out in the open and, you know, we laugh about things that you may or may not find funny, but it's my show. Anyway, as always, very important to praise the suits at bbsradio.com for their unflinching support of free speech, free thought, free press, the First Amendment. Although I hope that in the office they support all the amendments. I think they do. I think we're sort of on the same page. So I always praise alternative media, alternative radio, because the media is obviously corporate Zionist controlled, and it's heavily infiltrated by the CIA. At this point, I'd like to say hello to all the pricks from the CIA and the NSA who are listening, FBI, who hate shows like mine, who hate what I stand for, who want to continue to manipulate the public, pass more laws, and, you know, the pricks who are doing all this stuff, they're actually our fellow Americans, I'm sorry to say. You know, they think they're just doing their job and making us a safer country. And meanwhile, the state continues to grow, government power continues to grow. And we have the charade of O'Romney or Obamney running in their political campaign. And, of course, they're keeping out third-party candidates. They don't want Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party presidential candidate Gary Johnson, they don't want him in the debates. They want to control their one party, one government party with two heads control. That's what the oligarchy wants. And basically it's the same foreign policy. They nibble around the edges. There's not much difference between the two. I keep debating people on Facebook and elsewhere, and they don't see it yet, but, you know, the spending, pro-war, pro-Gitmo, pro-Patriot Act, pro-TARP, pro-stimulus, pro-bailouts, all this crap they both support. Paul Ryan has probably basically never had a private sector job since he left college. He's always been in government as a bureaucrat or serving some government position, so, you know, it's just such a joke. And, of course, the way they treated Ron Paul. And they didn't want Ron Paul to speak in the at the Republican convention. So, I mean, it's just a joke. And I can't stand Romney. I can't stand Obama. I saw the movie 2016, and I thought it would be sort of a neocon love fest. And I used to be more of a fan of Dinesh D'Souza, but he's got a neocon foreign policy, and the whole Israel thing is in there. And can you believe in the conventions, they're even talking about, you agree that, you know, Jerusalem should be the capital of Israel. Who cares? I don't care about Israel. They're not our 51st state. Why are they continually included in our political theater? Because the massive power of the Israeli lobby, especially AIPAC, which I say stands for American Israeli Parasites Against the Constitution. And some people wet their pants when they hear that, but I'm telling the truth. I mean, what since when, well, for decades now, but I'll still voice it openly, you know, since when does this pissant small little country have so much sway over the American political process? So that is a scenario that I don't mind confronting on this show, because I stand with the anti-Zionist Jews, especially Jews united against Zionism. I'm totally against the war, any war with Iran. I hate what the CIA and Mossad are doing to Syria now to disrupt that so they can get a better path to attacking Iran. Meanwhile, Russia seems to be more of the good guy. Russia stands against Zionist power. And it seems like they don't want to be bullied by the U.S. federal government. I also like the way China said, I think it was last month, that they stood up to the U.S. too, and they were talking about, you know, all they're investing in China in Africa, and the Chinese said, yeah, at least we're investing there. We're not sending drones to kill people. So this whole drone thing is out of control, and I saw there's quite a protest in New York against drones. So I hope that people's consciousness continues to raise against drones, because this is an awful situation. And I knew that these damn drones, I knew as soon as I heard about them, I knew that they'd be coming to our own country soon. And just not under border control, because all these goddamn cop police departments, they want drones too. And those damn drones are going to be snooping around. I mean, they can make them very small. They'll probably, I mean, they could go down a chimney or through a door. They're very small. And hopefully there'll be technology where you can just whack them or knock them down. But I see that as a problem. And it's not going away anytime soon. But neither am I. Now, I have a friend scheduled to come on tonight, and hopefully the office got my number, my email, to give him a call if they're listening. I'm going to call my friend. His name is Blaine, and we're going to have an interesting subject to talk about, which is foreign brides. And we mentioned this before. We spoke about this before a couple months ago, I think. So we're going to elaborate that on that some more. He's been traveling. So if the suits are looking at my email here, they will please call. They will call my friend Blaine, because he's waiting to come on the show with me, the mighty PK. So I'm just getting over a head of pretty bad cold. Is my friend Blaine out there?
Yes, this is Blaine.
Hey, Blaine. Welcome to Third Stream View.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
Would you like some tea or coffee?
No, thank you.
Good, because it's self-service.
All right. I'll just help myself then.
Who are you, Polly? You're a politician? You're going to help yourself?
Yeah, I'll help myself.
To the endless tax trough?
Self-serving, yes.
Self-serving, yes. What a beautiful philosophy you have. So, you know, on this show, you've been on here before, I am the mighty PK.
Right.
I am learned. Yeah. I am learned in many different things, self-taught a bit, quite a bit, actually, and can hold my own with the best of them.
Okay.
And even though you're not one of the best of them, you're a good man, so I don't really have many conflicts with you about actually much at all. And I understand you've been traveling again. Could you tell my millions of listeners where you've been recently?
Well, I spent some time in Eastern Europe this past summer, amongst many other places here in California, but that was my biggest endeavor as far as traveling, and I learned a lot, got a lot of information, and had a good time, like usual.
So you were in Eastern Europe?
Yes.
Well, importantly, I, as an American, I actually know where that is. If I looked at a map or the globe, I could tell you immediately where Eastern Europe is, and I could name most of the countries.
Wow, well, that is impressive.
Pretty impressive for a Yank, eh?
Yes, because most of the people I talk to don't know some of the places I've been in Eastern Europe.
That is correct.
I spend most of the time in the Ukraine, and a lot of people, from the U.S. will say, "You mean the U.K.?" And I say, "No, the Ukraine, which is next to Russia, and also a little country called Moldavia."
Yes, both countries, former republics of former Soviet Union. Is this true?
Yes, this is true.
And both Americans, countries, they still have a legacy still of speaking Russian, that I think was forced upon them. I don't know if they have their own language.
Well, Moldavia is a very, very interesting topic because Americans will call it Moldavia, which I guess either and or is correct. But the Ukrainians call it, say, Moldavia. And yes, they do have their own language, and Russian was forced upon them, and apparently Moldavian language was forced upon everyone not so long ago, and there was a war there, and I guess Russia came in and backed the, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but between the East and West there was the conflict, and anyway, the outcome was that you don't have to speak Moldavian. In Moldavia, you can speak Russian. So, but yeah, there was a little bit of conflict going there, not so long ago.
And the Ukraine usually did speak Russian anyway, didn't it?
No, not way back when.
Oh, so they had their own language before the commies took over.
Oh, yes, yeah, Ukrainian. And in the west part of Ukraine, the western part, it is still spoken very, very fluently. And western Ukraine, well, as you probably know, PK, being an expert, per se, in World War II history, that the western part of Ukraine actually tried to join the ranks with Hitler. And wanted to fight against the Russians. Yeah, so to this day, there's still a sore subject there as far as western Ukraine and eastern Ukraine. And when you go to the western part of Ukraine, apparently they look down on you if you speak Russian and you don't speak Ukrainian. So a little bit of history there for you.
Are you familiar with the Holodomor?
That was the Holocaust.
That was the Ukrainian-Russian Holocaust.
Yeah, the Ukrainian-Russian Holocaust. Yeah,
but only Jewish suffering counts. Not the genocide of the American Indian, not the 1915 genocide of the Armenians by the Turks, not the Russian Holocaust, not the Chinese Holocaust, not the Cambodian Holocaust, and not the Rwandan Holocaust. Only the chosen people can suffer. Only Jewish suffering is important. That's why they're drawing this Holocaust crap into us constantly. Holocaust Museum in the U.S. That would like being having a museum in Germany commemorating the slaughter of the American Indians or American slavery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And by the way, how do you like my Eastern? Do you like the accent I've brought to the show? If I need to speak like this, do you see any benefit of my accent so far?
Not bad, actually. You sound like a Ukrainian or Russian trying to speak English, which they.
Spasibo. Spasibo, my friend.
Basically, it's real simple. I explain it to Americans. All you need to do is try to talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you've got it. Yes.
It sounded like you didn't say nigger. It sounded like you said the other word, Arnold Schwartz.
Either way, you know what I meant. you're very controversial tonight, PK. You sound like you're trying to start.
I'm always controversial on this show. So why do you go to the Ukraine? What are you, a commie sympathizer? What's wrong with our country? Why were you there?
Oh well, because PK, you know it's. There's just so many beautiful women here in America, and they're so good to us, and they want us all to, you know, just be happy, and, you know, they never give us any problems or anything, so.
Well, it's got tits. You know, if it's got tits or wheels, you'll have trouble with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, the reason that I went to Eastern Europe this year was to do research for my business, which is, do you want to tell the millions of listeners about my business, or shall I?
None of my business. You tell them.
None of your business. Yes, well, as you know, I have a business, and my business is basically to educate and to guide and protect American men who are interested in foreign women in general, and basically showing them, telling them how to go over there and not get taken to the cleaners like so many men do. It's happening as we speak. And it's a huge, huge industry over there. And I don't know if everyone's aware of that. We do have our stereotypes about this, but I've been over there firsthand many times, and I've seen it over and over, and there are lots of American men who are just throwing their money away because there's a country full of beautiful young women over there, and it's kind of, I don't want to say a myth, but there are a lot of American men that believe that these beautiful young Eastern European women want to be with them. And it's not always true. So anyway, it's a good topic for discussion.
So what's the name of this business that you're trying to grow?
Well, it started out as honestloveforyou.com, and we kind of shortened it a little bit to loveguardian.net.
And loveguardian.net.
Yes, loveguardian.net.
And so in other words, you've taken it upon yourself to protect your fellow American men from the pitfalls of the young, beautiful, desirable women of Eastern Europe.
Yes, you might say that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it up.
There's room on Mount Rushmore for your effigy, kiddo.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, this does bring to mind, since you've been talking, I have a few questions I want to get into on this. This is rather interesting.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but before I do that, so you were in the Ukraine and Moldova.
Moldova? Yeah. Yeah. Moldavia. it's pretty much both correct.
As smart as I am in geography, I know the term Moldova. That's one country I probably couldn't find, but now that you've said, you know, Eastern Europe, is it anywhere near the Crimea?
No, actually, it's not that. It's not heading that direction.
Is it landlocked?
Moldova is actually located between Romania and the Ukraine.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really close to the Ukraine. I mean, it's very close.
I know you've been to the Ukraine before. Was that your first visit to Moldova?
No, that was my second time to Moldova. And Moldova, from what I've learned, is the poorest country in Eastern Europe. Now, it didn't look that much different than, say, the Ukraine.
I just found it. It does... I don't know if it is landlocked. It looks like it's right next to the Black Sea. I don't know if it touches it.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a pretty good size. I mean, yeah. When I look at the globe, it's a fairly... I mean, it's small, but it's fairly... It's as big as Slovakia, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's as big as a lot of those smaller countries. Yeah.
It's bigger than New Hampshire or Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the two together almost, but now, it's tucked under the bottom of the Ukraine, and you're right, next to Romania. Romania's got some beautiful women. Of course, they got Italian blood.
Absolutely. The Romanian women are beautiful. And, it's a place that is yet to be explored and conquered as far as that goes, and I plan on making a trip to Romania in the near future.
So how was the food in Moldova?
The food in Moldova was similar to the Ukraine. I didn't really see much difference, although I'm not an expert. I mean, I didn't go to every place that you can eat in Moldova, but the food was good. I like the food in the Ukraine. I actually prefer the food in the Ukraine over the food in Russia.
I didn't care for the food. I've been to St. Petersburg many times. I didn't care for the food in Russia. I liked Russia. Didn't really care about the food too much. Well, I mean, what is some of their main? What is some of their main dishes like in the Ukraine besides their chip dishes? Thank you.
Well, they have the Ukraine have a lot of like they have some pasta dishes, but they have like a potato that's baked with meat and cheese and very good. I mean, borscht is. I don't know exactly where borscht came from. I think there's an argument. I think it actually came from Poland, but originally. But it's considered to be Ukrainian. That's a beet soup and made with beets. And I don't really care for borscht. But Ukrainians have some delicious soups. Like they had a mushroom soup that was just out of this world, better than anything I've tasted here in the U.S. And they have they do a lot of pork, a lot of pork dishes. Pork steaks and stuff, and very good, very rich food.
Can you get a good pizza there?
Yes, you can. You can.
How about
but,
a good salad? Can you get a good salad?
Great salad. Great, absolutely. One of the things I was going to say next was that their salads are excellent. There's a Russian salad, and they have different salads. I'm trying to think of the names of some of them, but I'm kind of drawing a blank on that. But yeah, their salads are great. I looked for good pizza, and in most of the city of Odessa, I couldn't find good pizza, but I did find it at one place. So I have to say there is good pizza there.
Now, how did you get to Moldavia from Ukraine?
How did I get to Moldavia? You take, well, it's not an easy task to get to Moldavia. We had to take, I think, four different buses to get there, transfer buses. And crossing into the border of Moldavia was not really fun. I kind of felt like a real outsider there. And it's apparent that they don't get as many tourists there in Moldavia as, say, in Odessa, Ukraine.
Right.
So they really, when they find out you're American, they kind of give you some funny looks. And
they want to see your papers more than the other countries, Blaine?
Yes. That's a definite yes. And
were you by customs and immigration when you enter this country?
Yes. And you can tell if you could read their minds what their mind is thinking. I mean, they're looking at you like a bug on their shoe. I mean, they just look at you in a way that makes you just want to turn around and go home. You know,
did they go
friendly.
The luggage?
Yeah, not friendly.
So they went through your luggage?
They didn't go through my luggage per se. I didn't take a lot of luggage with me, you know, just a couple like a backpack kind of thing. And no, they didn't go through that, but it's kind of strange. Like they would say, okay, go ahead, and then they'll stop you and bring you back and look at your papers again and show them to the guy next to them and bring in this other person to look at them, then look at you, and then just give you like a disgusted look and then stamp your papers, that type of thing. You know, just really appeared unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, and the young lady that I was with, I asked her, I said, what's that all about? She said, oh, don't pay attention to them. And I said, well, it's kind of hard not to, you know, I mean, it's obvious that they didn't really like me. And she said, well, they don't. She said, you're American, and they don't see a lot of Americans. And I said, well, why don't they like me? You know, right there on the spot, I needed to know. I said, why don't they like me? And she said, because they're jealous of you. And I said, why? And she said, because you're American. And I said, well, okay, but that doesn't really sum up anything for me. You know, that's a whole topic in itself, PK. That's Moldavia. But that's a big issue in itself. And
I didn't know
that would
piss them off.
Well, they were the former Soviet Union. I mean, why would they feel any different than a lot of the other countries?
Well, because the Ukraine doesn't hate us as much, do they?
As who?
As Moldavia.
Well, we bring in more money into the Ukraine, but no, the Ukraine doesn't care for us either. You know, the truth is none of those countries do. But there are a lot of Americans who have never been outside the state they live in that will argue with me about that and say, oh, no, they like us, they like us. You just ran into some mean people. But no, from what I've researched, no, they really don't like us too well.
How was your hotels or your lodging in Moldova?
It was good. It was maybe a small step down from the Ukraine, but people, they were very accommodating, I have to say, as far as business goes. Now, I have a very good experience visiting some people in their home, and the young lady that I was with, it was her family and parents, and they treated me very well, very well, and I asked them, I said, well, you know, I have not been treated this well in the Ukraine. And they said, well, that's because that the old school, well, they didn't use the term old school, but that's what I'm going to use, the old-fashioned values of when someone comes into your home, that you treat them very well, like guests.
Sure.
And these were people that they talked about before the wall came down, you know, back in the old times.
Uh-huh.
And, wow. And that's what they said. That's the tradition.
Do they hate the Russians?
The Moldavian?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. I'm sure there's some mixed feelings going on there. But no, they didn't hate the Russians per se. But there was a lot that happened there. There was a lot that happened in that little country. I need to study more. But from what I learned, there was definitely some civil war going on.
Well, I'm sure they were harmed a lot by World War II.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
I'm sure. Well, let me get to some of these questions I've thought of to ask you.
Okay.
You know, why should men be? You know, why should American men be interested in foreign brides in the first place?
Well, that's a very interesting topic. In my opinion, foreign women have a lot of advantages over American women. Number one, just some of their traditional values I consider more valuable, you know, as far as standing by your man, sticking by your man, being more family-oriented, not wanting to compete with you. That's a big one for me.
That's good.
And that's something I've gotten a lot with American women is they want to compete. You know, they want to compete with you and they want everything you have, where a lot of foreign women are happy being women. And then that kind of sums it up. They're happy being women.
They're into being women.
What's that?
They're into being women.
Yes, yeah. They put a lot of time into their look. You know, their look is very important. They're grooming their clothes, you know, and I like that. I like that. I like the feminine qualities of foreign women. And that's not to say that American women don't have that, but I think that we're breeding that out of them. Slowly but surely, I see a lot of women around the area that I live just dressing really sloppy, no regard for how they look. And I'm talking about good-looking, pretty girls, you know, that just look a mess. And that's normal. And, you know, just the sense of entitlement, you know, that we have as Americans. So to me, there are a lot of advantages to a foreign woman. And probably one of the biggest ones is, in a lot of cases, in a lot of countries, a foreign woman, it will be a little more comfortable with a little bigger age difference than they will here in the States. So that's a pretty big issue.
Yeah, let me ask you about that. Do foreign women, do they like older American men? Do they tend to like them, or, you know?
Well, yes and no. They like them, but there's kind of a misconception going on there where American men are led to believe that a huge age difference is okay. And it's really not okay
from what I've researched, I've talked to many women about this, and they say maybe about a 15-year age difference is about max. You know, that's about it. And let's say, for example, a man that's maybe in his 60s going after a girl that's 25, and him being, say, a little bit out of shape, overweight, you know, that doesn't really have his look together.
That ain't going to fly.
It ain't going to fly. No, it ain't going to fly.
Not even Hef would do that. But Hef, you know, Hef has always been lean and cultured. And,
yeah.
In fact, Hef was trying to, you know, date this one bunny at one time, and she said to Hef, you know, I usually don't date anyone over 30. And he said, that's funny. Neither do I.
Yeah. I love it. You got to love Hef. Yeah.
I wonder who play him when they do the movie.
I don't know. I don't know, PK.
Perhaps I could play him in his middle age years.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you could. Yeah. No. I think it's going to take someone really, really special to play Hef. But,
well, that
but yeah, that's funny, and that's pretty much true with Hef, you know. There are a lot of women that really don't want to look past an age difference.
You said about 10 to 15 years older. I mean, for me, I'd be interested in one that's about 10 years younger.
Well, that's perfect. I think that's perfect. That's a good age difference.
So am I.
You know, because you have the experience. You know, you have the culture, like you say, and you know, I think it would be beneficial for a lady to have a man that was 10 years older than her. You know, 15 in some cases, maybe 20 in some cases. Now, I just got back to the U.S. and the lady that I was dating there, who I've known for a little while now, there's a 23-year age difference between us. And I asked her on an interview, and I've got it. I've got the interview to prove it. I said, why is it okay that you're with me and I'm 23 years older than you? And she said, well, you're an exception. And I said, okay, what's an exception? Talk about what's an exception. Explain that. And she said, well, you have a lot of energy, one. And she said, you're fit and in good shape and good looking, number two. And she said, you always want to do something interesting. Okay, so that's a big one.
She's really describing you at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it or not.
Okay, go ahead.
But gentlemen listening out there, this is good information.
Sure.
She said that I always want to do something interesting. So no couch potatoes, guys. They're not into that. I mean, you know, if you want to be with a younger woman, you better be on the ball. You know what I mean? You better be on the stick.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. If couch potato don't make it, if these men think just because they got a few bucks and they can land a younger babe, that ain't going to happen. And I would say that this babe, the 23-year difference is a bit much in your case, because when you're 83, she'll be 60. Is she going to still want you to mount her, you know, when you're 83 and she's 60?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm still going to give it the old college try.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
There will be advanced Viagra by then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll need the extra strength stuff by then. but that
question, 10 to 15 years older is the most sensible.
That's the most sensible. I wouldn't recommend going past that. And the ladies wouldn't recommend it either. That's news to the guys, because I know some of these agencies who I'm really down on right now will lie to men and tell them that, you know, oh yeah, she loves you, yeah, oh yeah, they there's a whole country full of them just looking for guys that are, you know, 30 years older than them. That's not true. That's definitely
and that's
not
where
true.
That's where loveguardian.net isn't going to scam or BS these guys. You're going to tell them up front, you know, you can't. Don't expect to have one 25, 30 years younger than you and, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Absolutely.
In fact, even if you are in good shape, it's not really recommended, because later in life it could be a problem.
Yeah, later in life it can be a problem. And plus, you know, just you've got a culture difference, one, possibly a language barrier, two. So now you're going to throw a huge age difference. I mean, you're really asking for trouble, you know.
Speaking of languages, I forgot to ask you, when you were in Moldavia, what, I mean, do a lot of people speak English, or?
No, they speak mostly Russian.
And how were the Moldavian-looking babes next to the Ukrainian babes?
They looked just like them, to me, from what I could see. Yeah, there were lots of gorgeous women. Well, it's Eastern Europe, and it isn't that much, there isn't that much distance there. It isn't like there's a whole world of distance, you know. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
And
Here's one for you.
Uh-huh.
Will foreign women, will they tend to be any more submissive or subservient? Is there any of that going on?
I say no, PK. I think that's a myth. And
I would think it is, too.
It's a myth that needs to be busted because as far as being submissive and subservient, these women have minds of their own.
They have strong opinions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, they have strong opinions, and they don't keep their opinions to themselves, you know, and they have pretty high opinions of themselves. So, yeah, I mean, if you are looking for a bride that's going to be, you know, a little bit submissive and shy and a little bit under your wing like that, then I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I think you need to go look at the Asian culture or the Latin culture. But the Eastern European women, no. Not subservient.
Well, most of them have been to college, haven't they?
What's that?
Most of them have been to college, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Education is huge there. Education is big. It's free. Well, I shouldn't say completely free, but more free than it is here in the U.S. You know, you can go to college. I mean, there are expenses and there's corruption and things like that. But yeah, they're big on education.
So, well, their taxes pay for it. That's because of the legacy of the commies ran lousy economies but good education systems. Although they didn't teach capitalism or business, they didn't link the entrepreneur with production. So yes, the commies ran good educational systems, and that's why they excelled in, you know, math and science, but not in business. I mean, it's changing. These women are well educated, and you know, I think a lot of them. I don't trust the Russian ones that much because they're well educated. Most of them speak English, and I just think they're craftier. That's all.
Well, I would tend to agree with that. They are very crafty. They know money. They know the value of money, even if they don't have it. You know, they want it, and that's another misconception that is basically crammed down men's throat. Is that, oh well, they come from a poor background, a poor family, so they're not going to be so money oriented. Well, that's not true. They are money oriented.
Yeah, let me ask you about that. You bring up a good point there. Do foreign women, you know, do they tend to appreciate things more coming from, say, you know, a poorer background? Do they tend to appreciate, you know, what American man might have to offer in that situation?
No, PK, I have to say no to that question. I mean, I'd like to say yes, and the agencies will blow that smoke up your skirt, but it's not true.
I tend to agree with you, although I don't wear a skirt, but I tend to agree with you that, that they
They know the value of things. They know how much things cost. I mean, you try to get away with buying them a cheap necklace or a cheap pair of pants, or you know, they're all over that. You know, and they just it's funny because you would think that they would be more appreciative coming from such a poor background, but in a sense, it makes them more money oriented. So that was very disappointing to me because I was hoping to meet a young lady that was very appreciative and very, maybe a little bit more meek and mild as far as that goes, as far as money and things. But no, every lady I've met in the Ukraine or Russia or Moldavia was very money oriented. And I'm sorry to say, but that's the truth.
Well, yeah, you mentioned, like, you know, get them a necklace or something. Now, what about a pearl necklace?
Well, here's another thing. From what I've seen, they like gold. They like gold and diamonds. They like the big guns, you know.
Well, isn't that a universal female propensity to like shiny things?
I think so. Well, and you know what? I had an older woman explain that to me a little bit, and she said, yeah, I know it looks bad, you know, that these girls want gold. She said, but think about it. In our culture, this is the older lady talking. She said, in our culture, gold meant food. Gold meant pay the rent. Gold, you know, you could eat gold. You know what I'm saying? You could rip that thing off your necklace and say, here, give me some food. Or, you know, you need money here. So it was more than just jewelry to them. It was actually, currency in a sense. So that
it's
makes
supposed
sense.
To be.
What's that?
It's supposed to be currency, gold and silver, because I'm, you know, also an economist, and our money should be backed by gold and silver. So, you know, they're kind of on the right track in terms of when you said currency, it's like, yes, hello.
Well, yeah, and to their defense, going years back in their culture, you know, this was something that made them feel comfortable or confident as far as, like, yeah, I've got this thing around my neck or this ring, and it's worth something. So in their defense, yeah, I can see that. I can understand that, where even here in the U.S., you could give a young lady, say, a necklace that wasn't super expensive, but maybe that was pretty, and she would appreciate it and say, oh, that's great, you know, and she would know that it wasn't real expensive. But over there in Eastern Europe, yeah, they like gold and not even silver so much. They just really like gold. I mean, it's almost kind of boring in a sense to me, you know.
And because, gold we trust.
Yeah, yeah. They like gold and diamonds. So yeah, that's advice to the men. I mean, if you're going to give a gift that you want to make an impression, give gold.
That kind of leaves you out.
It kind of leaves me out, PK.
Thank you. Now, what about this? This comes to mind. You know, these foreign chicks, I guess, regardless of where they're from, you know, are most of them after just a green card?
No. Not, interestingly enough, that's the myth that was going on before the wall came down, you know, way back in, say, World War II times, where, oh, they just want... Go ahead.
I don't think so either. I agree with you.
Yeah. That's the propaganda that's been drummed in our head is, oh, they just want to get over here. They just want to get over here. Well, I've interviewed many women, younger and older, and they commonly said, well, what do you think? We want to just go over there and live alone and be by ourselves? They're like, no, we want a man. We want a husband. We want a family. That's what most every girl wants. But a lot of them over there are happier than you might think. Since the wall came down, things have changed a little bit. Well, it changed a lot, actually. But there are a lot of women over there that don't want to come over here, per se. They just want our money. And that's the bad thing. They want American dollars. So that's where all this scamming started happening, oh, maybe 20 years ago. And they're perfectly happy living where they are. They've got their boyfriends there. And their boyfriends, their husbands, even some of them, are working the American men, and they're married, you know, and they're just scamming our money, you know. They get these guys. I mean, they should know better, but I can't help but feel sorry for some of them, and you know, they're falling in love with these girls, and these girls are with someone else, you know, and I would say the answer to that question is no. They don't all want to just come over here. Some of them are perfectly happy where they're at. They just want our money. That's the truth.
Yeah. But are most of these women just scammers, though?
In Eastern Europe, I have to say yes, most are scammers. I'd say over 50% are scammers. But now there is probably maybe 47% that aren't, and they're beautiful, and they're looking for a good man, and they're maybe a little more humble and modest than women in the U.S.
That's the thing, is, you know, how do you find that 40%?
And that's where I come in, PK. That's
they all speak English, don't they?
LoveGarden.net. Go ahead.
Most of them speak English pretty well, don't they?
Most of them speak English to some degree, and some will hide it. That's how I got scammed big time, was going out on a date with a young lady and her pretending she didn't speak English, where in reality she was an interpreter. She spoke fluent English. And wow. Yeah, most of them do speak English, and most of them speak a little better English than they lead on sometimes, because they can always play that card. You know, they don't speak such good English. I need an interpreter. Well, you go and you pay an interpreter $20 an hour, then the interpreter is splitting the money with your date. Very common scam.
And how did you find that out?
Very ironically, I was at a water park with my date and our interpreter, and a buddy of mine who actually I played some music with the first time I was over there, he came up to me and said, "Hey, Blaine, that girl you're with speaks English." And I thought he meant the interpreter, and I said, You mean the one in the red bathing suit? And he's like, "No, the one in the blue bathing suit. She speaks
Uh-oh.
English." I said, No, she doesn't." And he goes, "Well, yeah, she does, because she was my interpreter last year on a date." And so, that's when all hell broke loose, and I kind of lost my cool a little bit, because, you know, I had been scammed really bad. I mean, I'd been paying this interpreter $20 an hour to go all these places with us, and then to find out that I didn't even really need to be paying her anything, because my date spoke perfect English. I don't want to say perfect, but pretty darn good.
See, I wouldn't want an interpreter, because I would want one that already spoke enough English where he could get by.
That's smart, PK. That's a very good advice.
If you find one that didn't speak much English and an interpreter, even if she's crazy about you and you take her, marry her, take her home, I mean, you're in a, you know, she's going to have to learn English, and you're going to be stuck.
Yeah, and learning English isn't quite as easy as the agencies make it out to be. You know, they'll again blow smoke up your skirt and tell you, "Oh, well, I've seen girls go from no English at all to basically fluent English in 2 months." Well, that's a crock of BS.
Of course,
Can I swear on your show?
Sure.
That's a crock of shit. Because even after a lady's been speaking English for maybe 10 years even, you're still going to have a language barrier. You know, you're still going to have, she'll say something and you'll take it the wrong way, or vice versa, you know. So, the language thing is always a challenge, you know. Now, would I let a language barrier come between me and a girl that I was crazy about, and I felt she was crazy about me? No, I wouldn't. But
would you?
I think you gave some good advice that to try your best to find a girl that already speaks English.
Would you let a condom come between you and a girl who didn't speak English?
Would I let a condom come? Yeah, I think I would, PK.
Thank you. I just wrote that. Now here's something.
That's a good idea.
What about? I mean, let's say that she introduces you to her family. Does that mean she's any more interested, any more or less interested, or is that part of the whole?
Well, that, you know what? That's a really good question, PK, because there's a lot of men that I've talked to and mentored and coached, basically, that would come to me and say, "Oh, well, I know my girl is definitely not a scammer, because she took and introduced me to her family." Number one, it is a good sign. It's a good sign if she will introduce you to her family, I'll say. But that doesn't necessarily mean that she's really interested in you, because the family could be in on it just as much as the girl, which is scary.
That's what I was going to say. I thought that sounds like it to me, you know?
Yeah.
But the family
yeah,
would be in
them,
on it too, you know, sort of like false hospitality.
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
False hospitality.
Hey,
do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Sort of like when I visit you. No,
yeah,
just kidding.
Exactly, yeah.
I could see that. I could see where the whole gang would be in it. Because, you know, if they're poor and they need money, or they need some kind of, you know, generosity.
Sure.
You know.
Sure, yeah. Well, and if the daughter does end up with an American man, they stand to benefit too. So, you know, a lot of the time they'll play along, even though they know their daughter's not interested in this particular man. And, you know, I got scammed real bad in Peru in that very, very situation, where I don't even think the daughter was in on it. It was all the mother was running the show. And it basically it was like, "Okay, this is my beautiful young daughter. Now what do you have to offer me?" So, you know, she wasn't going to walk away from the table without getting something. And it can happen. So it's not a for sure sign that the lady is interested in you. You know,
now,
I'll say it's a good sign, but I don't count on it.
Yeah, it's not a closed deal by any means.
No, not by any means.
Now, what about, you talking about scamming? What about these other American agencies? I mean, do they protect you from scammers? What's their whole deal? What's their scam, if you will?
Well, I have to say that most of the American agencies, I'm using the word most, I'm not saying all, most are the biggest scammers of everyone. And what they do is they subcontract little agencies in Ukraine and Russia and Eastern Europe, and the American agencies don't even know the girls they're dealing with. So in other words, they're basically setting you up with pictures of girls that they don't even know, but they're acting like, oh yeah, we know this girl, we've gone through her background check, and we know she's an honest girl, and you know they blow that smoke up your skirt, you know, and they try to tell you that they know them, but they don't, and that's where the American agencies really, really, in my opinion, are wrong, because they're blatantly lying to these men, you know, and they will sell a picture, basically. You know, when a girl turns 18, she can sell her picture to an agency, a local agency. The local agency will get it, and they'll sell it to one of the big American agencies. And this girl, she might have, you know, 50 guys, 50 men writing to her, and she has no interest in any of them. Worse yet, doesn't even know any of them. So, I mean, I've had guys actually show up to the Ukraine and find their girl, which they had the correct information. Like they this one man in particular went to a beauty salon where this girl worked that he was writing to, and he showed up, and she didn't know who the hell he was.
Wow.
And he was just like, he was like, Elena, it's me, Jeff, it's Jeff. And she's like, sorry, sir, I don't know you. And then he went into some of the letters that were written. Well, you remember you went to, you had to go to Russia because your grandmother was sick, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, sir, my grandmother was not sick.
Wow.
And so, I mean, and now who can you blame here? You know what I'm saying? And this is where the American agencies, you know, try to sweep it under the carpet and turn their back, you know, but they should be sued for this kind of stuff.
Well, how about,
I mean, I was just going to say, this man corresponded with this particular girl for a year and a half. You know, that's a lot of letters.
Wow. Now,
so anyway, what were you going to say?
Do they get phone calls too? They call these women? I mean, because do the men, you know, do they really wonder if they're talking to the woman they think they are?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I get a lot too. I get a lot of men now.
Tell us about that.
No one wants to buy a lemon. When you go out and buy a car, you know, no one wants to say, oh man, I bought a lemon, this car's a piece of crap. You know, no one wants to buy a lemon. Well, men don't want to admit that they bought a lemon when it comes to a foreign girl. And buying a lemon, it means that they are talking to someone else other than the girl that they think they are. They might even be talking to a man. And and a lot of these men don't want to admit it. They all tell me the same thing, PK. They all tell me, oh, no, I know I'm talking to my girl because I talked to her in a video chat and I saw a picture of her. I saw her, you know, and I know I'm talking to her. Well, number one, what's to say that girl, yeah, she's talking to him, but why does he think that she is the least bit interested in him? You know, that agency is paying her to talk to him. And video calls, the girls get paid the most. And I know that from the scammer girls I've talked to. They get paid the most for video chats. So that girl's getting paid well in Ukrainian or Russian standards. And so, yeah, of course she's going to talk to this man. And, of course, she's going to say, oh, I miss you. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking about you all the time, too. But why do these men think that means they're interested, you know? And the other thing,
men are gullible.
Yes, men are gullible. But I know
sick of women hurting us.
I know one particular girl who is, to this day, still working as a scammer. And she told me, she said, yeah, I've put on a blonde wig and changed my makeup around a little bit to look like another girl. And fooled some of these men, you know. So, yeah, just because, you think you're talking to someone and you think that because you've done a video, that, oh, yeah, that's her and she's the one writing the letters. Well, no, that doesn't mean she's writing the letters. It doesn't mean that at all. So far, she's not writing any letters. It's an interpreter writing, and she just showed up for that one video chat or the two or three video chats that you paid for.
So are those American agencies that are scamming or in on it, are they making some pretty good dough?
Yeah, they're making real good dough off of the American men. Yeah, I mean, you know, and it goes deeper than that, PK, you know, all the presents that you can buy your girl through the agency, you know, you'll pay $160 for some really nice roses and a nice vase and, you know, that type of thing with, you know, balloons and ribbons on it. Well, do you want to know what happens? Do you really want to know?
Sure, tell us.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you straight. What happens there is the girl will go down to the florist, and the people at the florist will put these beautiful flowers in her hand. The agency will take a picture of the girl with these flowers in her hand, and she'll hand the roses back to the florist, and the agency will pay her 150 hryvnia, which is about, $17.50.
Huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Some of the common mistakes that, you know, American men make while dating foreign women. Or trying to date them. What are some of the common mistakes?
The biggest mistake, first off, is the age difference. American men try to date women that are just too much younger than themselves, you know, and that's the first mistake. The second mistake that I see a lot is that the American men will come in with too much of an American attitude. You know, I'm the prize. I'm the one that, you know, I'm the breadwinner. So you need to cater to me. They won't take care of their dress. They won't take care of themselves. They're not well groomed, and they come in and just try to be too American. And some of them start bashing, you know, Russia and the Ukraine, and, you know, like woohoo USA. And, you know, you can't do that when you're over there, PK.
I hate that mentality. I don't do it anywhere. It's just awful.
Well, you're not going to get anywhere. That's the thing. I mean, these girls, even though, yeah, that, you know, they know deep down that their country isn't like the U.S. They know deep down that they're a poor country, but they don't want to hear that their country is bad. They don't want to hear that, you know, their life is bad. I mean, you know, everyone wants to be proud of who they are and where they came from. And so going over there and saying, oh, well, this is better in America, and that's terrible, and it's better in America, I mean, it's going to get you nowhere. And get you nowhere fast.
Well, I would never do that. Plus, this country of America is steadily declining anyway. So they should just shut up.
Yeah.
Because America's resting on its laurels, like I like to say. And if we think that people from outside this country are all poor, uneducated, and stupid, or if America has a monopoly on hard work, education, innovation, and technology, whoever believes that way, they're just fooling themselves.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's our propaganda, and
oh, it's terrible.
You know, there was so much of that going on. Well, America and other countries too. I mean, being over there and talking to. This is really interesting. Talking to this one family that said that they really felt. I asked them how life was now compared to before the wall came down. You know, back when it was the USSR, and they said they thought things were better then. They said we couldn't buy Levi's jeans and we couldn't drink Coca-Cola, but everyone had a job, everyone had medical coverage, everyone had a place to live. Everybody was pretty much taken care of. They said if you wanted to go to school, they'd make sure you had a place to live. And they said that that was pretty good. And the main question I was interested in, I said, what was the crime rate like back then? And they said, there was hardly any crime at all. I said, what is it like now? And they said, it's through the roof.
Wow.
There's crime all over because there's no jobs. So they said that all these freedoms that are now available to them, nobody can afford. You know, that's the problem.
Well, it's also the way they did it, the privatizations, and they had former commie leaders are now the businessmen, and they've fraudulently done away with, taxes and investment and all this kind of crap. But
yeah,
before that, they had a cradle-to-grave mentality. Oh, the state will take care of us. I mean, socialism is the most thorough type of slavery, actually. So
yeah,
they have problems now, but it's because of how the privatizations went and how the things changed.
Yeah.
And the mafia,
yeah.
I don't know if there's much Russian mafia in Moldova, but Russian mafia is very powerful. And
oh, yeah.
It's mostly atheist Russian Jews running the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, let's... I'm actually out of time, but I'll continue a little bit more. I'm going to change the subject. Thank you for your info on this. Interesting about dating foreign women.
Yeah.
And the pitfalls of it.
Yeah. If anyone wants to contact me.
Throw
my website out there again. It's loveguardian.net. Simple as that. We can schedule a phone call or a consultation. I actually do go over there with men and kind of just show them the way. And if there are some gentlemen out there that are interested in a foreign lady that's not a scammer, I have contacted several ladies that are looking for a real relationship. They're looking for a real man, a real relationship, and they're not looking to take your money. So
I'm sure they exist.
Now, they do exist.
Are there plenty of them between, let's say, 40 and 50 who are looking to?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Lots of them between those ages. Yeah.
Wow. And they're still looking, yeah. I mean, they still look good. They have, fairly slender. They're not huge.
Yeah, yeah. They look good.
Difference between a wife and a girlfriend, don't you?
What's that?
About 50 pounds.
About 50, huh? Oh, that's pretty good, PK.
Well, let's move on briefly to the this California topic of the California greenery. That prick Eric Holder, the attorney general, who went back on his word? Is he still harassing the dispensaries? Are they on the defensive now? I heard there's a prosecutor bitch in Oakland, I think, that's really become an enemy of the dispensaries.
Yeah, that's going on. They're really tightening their belts on the dispensaries, and what they're doing is just taxing the crap out of them to where nobody can survive.
Well, if they do that anyway, that's going to ruin the whole thing. If it's ever re-legalized, if they tax the hell out of hemp or the sacred herb, then it's going to defeat the purpose. People will just continue to buy it so-called illegally.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's true.
Now, is it possible out there to buy into a dispensary or to buy one?
I believe it is. You can buy a dispensary that's already going that somebody wants out of or is just not making it, and you can try to make a go of it. I mean, I don't know a lot about that as far as people selling dispensaries, but generally it's a storefront that someone has rented, so you have a landlord and you have those issues to contend with.
But is it real expensive to get it up and running?
Well, it depends what are we calling real expensive. I mean, under $100,000,
I have no idea.
You can possibly get one up and running for maybe about that much money. That's a lot of money to me. I mean, but it's doable, but yeah, the taxes that they're imposing on these entrepreneurs are very, very high, and that's what's going to probably be the demise of all of them, in my
opinion.
That's
a shame.
Yeah, it is. It is a shame.
How many strains of sacred California herb are there these days that you know of?
Oh, my gosh, that I know of? Lots.
10 or 20?
Maybe more like 30 or 40. Probably
wow.
More than that, even. Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Lots of strains, lots of different strains. Well, you know, they're cross-breeding them and making new strains all the time. And, you know, what's really huge right now, what's really big are the concentrates. That's what people seem to be going for.
And what is that?
Well, it's kind of like a real refined, like a real refined hash, per se. So you don't have the plant matter. You know, you just have what's the word I'm looking for?
THC.
In a sense, but there's a correct word. For lack of a better word, yeah, you just have the basis of the THC. You don't have the plant matter, so it's actually a little healthier way to ingest it as well.
You talk about vaporizer.
Yeah, yeah.
But the herb itself, you say it's a composite. It's a different. How did you explain that? It's a.
It's just a real refined version of it. It's similar to a hash.
Pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. I think on the average, it's going for like about $30 a gram.
Wow. Now, yeah. Is Humboldt County, the famous Humboldt County, is it necessarily any better than something from out Yosemite Way or the Northeast Quadrant or, you know?
As far as quality?
Yes. And buzz?
Oh, I don't
what
know.
Do you hear?
I think that you can grow good medicine anywhere you're at. It's, you know, it's all about your genetics and about your... You know, knowing your botany. I mean, knowing your homework, basically. Yeah, I would say that you can grow good medicine anywhere.
That's right, and it's all medicinal to me.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So Humboldt County doesn't have the monopoly on the top grade of California medicinal marijuana.
I wouldn't. Well, Humboldt County has the monopoly on the outdoor, you know, which is not considered as high a quality as most indoor.
So what if outdoor was not harassed, nor was indoor harassed, would indoor still be a better quality?
Yeah, because it's a controlled climate. therefore you don't get the wind storms and the rain storms and that kind of thing, you know.
Uh-huh. I wonder where they come up for the names of the different types of herbs. Some are sort of humorous. I've heard of purple kush or these different kind of names, these different terms.
Well, they come up with them from being stoners. You know, it's pretty funny. You can tell a lot of the names that they come up with are definitely from guys that smoke a lot of that stuff. Or have ingested a lot of that stuff.
I think a good name for a very good strain would be called PK Supreme.
Yeah, I like that, PK Supreme. Well, there you go, PK. There you go.
There you go. And, Blaine, at this point, I want to thank you for coming on the Third Stream View and sharing your limited wisdom about the things that you know about. Thank you for your your info about the Ukraine. I'm glad you made it back safe and sound. And hell, you've been there what, 3 or 4 times now?
No, I've been there about 9 times.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've been there.
Wow.
I've been there a lot. Yes.
So when are you gonna bring your bride back from there?
Well, when I find the right one, PK, I'm still looking.
Find one that's not a scammer.
That's right. That's the key.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your info with us and your wisdom of your travels and of the opposite sex, the pitfalls of the opposite sex. And as I say, you know, if it's got tits or wheels, you'll have trouble with it. So that's that's a lingering situation right there. So anyway, I'm going to sign off now. And
okay,
just to remind our viewers that I'm here every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern, here at Third Stream View. I'm your wonderful, humble host, brilliant host, PK, signing off. Till next week, saying good night, everyone.